WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here we go. It is December the 25th, 2017, Christmas Day. And, of course, no one knows the exact day of Jesus' birth, but this is the day that's been chosen and is recognized around the world as the birth of Christ. Now, my personal opinion, I believe he was probably born in the springtime of the year, and I'll show you from Scripture here, but I'm not making a big deal out of that. Because, you know, the shepherds are out tending their flocks in the fields around Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth. It was lambing time. Just think about it. Jesus was the Lamb of God, and it only makes perfect biblical sense that he would be born during lambing time in Bethlehem, just like he was crucified on the biblical feast of Passover, also in the springtime. March, April, and then the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the Feast of Weeks, that is the biblical Feast of Weeks, 50 days later in Acts chapter 2. And there's one great biblical feast yet to be realized, and that is the Feast of Tabernacles, which will be at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amazing. The Word of God is so powerful, and it is so accurate that God can prophesy things even thousands of years before the event, and when it comes to pass, is exactly as he prophesied it many years, decades, or centuries, or even millennia before. In Matthew chapter 1, and what I want to do is tonight, I want to share some parallels between the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the United States of America. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what the name Jesus means, or in Hebrew would be Yeshua, Joshua. It means Savior. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. That's the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, the Son of God, meaning God with us. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yeshua," Jesus, Hallelujah. Praise God. That name that's above every other name. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but this one name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. You know, the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, when I think about this, I think about the United States of America that was founded really on the Word of God and in a very miraculous fashion. At the time, the most powerful army and navy in the world, Great Britain, was trying to bring the colonies into subjection that they felt were rebelling against them. And a ragtag army of, you could call them patriots, you could call them, really, they were just farmers, a lot of them. It was a very disorganized lot. And yet, because of the divine hand of God, the miraculous intervention by the hand of God, the United States of America was born and founded on the Word of God. And I'm going to share a little bit more in just a few minutes on that, along that line. But I want to turn to Luke chapter 2 right now. The story of Jesus, the most amazing story that's ever been told. And I remember as a child growing up, you know, I lived in a farming community and we had a schoolhouse. It was like an old one-room schoolhouse just a quarter of a mile from where I lived. And that's where my, my father and all of his brothers and sisters, there was eight of them in the family, that's where they all attended school. They walked to school from the homestead that my grandfather had immigrated from Sweden in 1902 into this area. And when he came into that area in Western Canada, there was no schools, there was no town. He had to actually walk 35 miles just for, the basic groceries like salt and sugar and those kind of things that were very basic. There was no roads, there was nothing. And so they built this school. The homesteaders that began to settle that, mostly Scandinavians in that area. And this is where they went to school. And I only missed that by a couple of years. That's when they started to get buses back in the early 1950s, and they bused us into town, into a bigger school. So I missed that one-room school, but they had graded 1 to 9 there. And so every Christmas, we would have a Christmas concert there, and all the neighbors would come and all the kids, and it was a great time. We'd sing Christmas carols, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, we'd have a Santa Claus would always come. And the thing about Santa Claus during those years is he was always late. They built up the suspense. It was a lot of fun. And they'd say, well, he's encountered a great snowstorm in northern Canada. And they're going to be delayed, or maybe one of the reindeer had got sick. You know, he got a cold because it was so freezing cold. And so there was always something that would delay them. And then they would get a radio report. And, of course, this is all made up. This is a big story. And they heard that Santa Claus and his reindeer, they finally broke through the storm or whatever the problem was, and they were coming. They were on their way, and they hadn't forgotten about us. They knew all the names of the kids there. He had presents for every kid that was there, and they built up this suspense so that, as little kids, it was almost like, wow, this anticipation of this great event that was going to happen. And finally, there'd be the jingling of bells outside, the reindeer and the sleighs come and the jingle bells and all that kind of stuff. And pretty soon, this big Santa Claus with the big pot belly and the white beard and the red suit would come into the old schoolhouse, and he'd start calling out names. And it was a lot of fun. But really, it was all centered around Jesus. It was all centered around the birth. The Santa Claus part, that was part of it. But it was all centered around the greatest story that has ever been told, and that is the miraculous conception and birth of Jesus Christ. You know, if you think about it, you see, on his father's side of the family, Jesus is the Son of God. Praise God. On his mother's side of the family, he is the Son of Man. So he's both the Son of God and he is the Son of Man. And that's two titles that you'll find throughout the four Gospels, the Son of God on his father's side of the family, eternal, the Son of God, and the Son of David on his mother's side of the family, and so he is the Son of Man. He fulfills all of the prophecy, the Old Testament prophecy, as the Messiah, the Son of David, the Anointed One, the one that would come to save not only the nation of Israel, but he would be the Savior of the world, a light unto the Gentiles. Wow, what an incredible revelation. And so we see here in Luke chapter 2, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. So this is where I believe this happened in the probably in March or April of the year. That's where they'd be out in the fields, watching over their flocks. They'd be birthing lambs at that time of the year, and it would totally fit the biblical narrative that Jesus, the Lamb of God, would be born during that time. And it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." Praise God. Yes, the Christmas story. So let's not split hairs about what day it happened, you know, or what time of the year. You know what? See, the most important thing is that Jesus was born. Not the day he was born. That's not the most significant thing, or at the time of the year. Or no, the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ was born, the seed, that incorruptible seed, the miraculous conception, supernatural conception of Jesus, the Son of God, in the womb of a virgin. Praise God. The miraculous conception and birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, that would come to take away the sins of the world. The most important event in human history happened on that day, many years ago, 2,000 years ago. Jesus, the Son of God. Now, we're going to stop for an important break right now, and we're going to come back in just a couple of minutes, and I want to share the parallels that I see here in the Word of God, the conception of Jesus Christ, and the United States of America, the founding fathers, George Washington, and those that were with him that were solid believers in Jesus Christ. Praise God. We'll be right back.
Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Praise the Lord. We are back, and it's Christmas. And I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. I want to thank God for Donald Trump. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed of the of the Christmas story. He is not ashamed to say Merry Christmas. He's not ashamed to call himself an American, a patriot. Praise God for a prime minister. I'm sorry, a president. I'm a Canadian, so I'm thinking prime minister. But you have a president that loves God and he loves his country. And what an incredible blessing this is. Now, I want to share with you a little bit of your history right now. And you're probably wondering, what is a Canadian doing, talking to you about, Christmas and talking about American history? Well, let me give you just a brief account. Back about almost 2 years ago now, God began to speak to me about the presidential election that was coming up and that Donald Trump would be the next president of the United States of America and that he was anointing him with a modern-day Cyrus anointing. And just like he had anointed Cyrus of old in the book of Isaiah chapter 44 and 45 and called Cyrus his anointed to bring deliverance to the nation of Israel and bring them out of their captivity in Babylon back into the land of their covenant inheritance, the land of Israel, that God was anointing Donald Trump for exactly the same purpose, to bring the United States back out of its idolatry to secular humanism and atheism and Satanism that is fallen under this, you could say, the spell of secular humanism and political correctness for many, many decades, just like the rest of the free world, like Western Europe, like Canada, and we've all fallen. And God was going to use him to bring back biblical correctness and bring the United States back on its biblical foundation. Let me share with you a little bit of your history. The Battle of Trenton, Victory or Death, December the 26th, and this is 1776. This is from the American Minute with Bill Federer, and I'm just reading an article that he had posted on the internet. Philadelphia was in a panic, expecting a British invasion. The Continental Congress packed up and fled. Their last instruction to General Washington was, "Until Congress shall otherwise order, General Washington shall be possessed of full power to order and direct all things," with the password for his military operation being victory or death. Washington's troops crossed the ice-filled Delaware River on Christmas Day evening in a blizzard. Now, just think about that. Where are you tonight? Sitting beside a warm fire or maybe in a warm house? Depending on what part of the country you're in, maybe you're on a beach, a warm beach, and you're enjoying family and friends. George Washington and his troops on that Christmas Day evening in 1776 were crossing the ice-filled Delaware River in a blizzard, and they weren't enjoying a warm fire, sitting around the fire. They weren't enjoying family and friends. They weren't having a big turkey or a big ham. No, they were starving, and they were facing an enemy that wanted to destroy them. Trudging through the blinding snow with two soldiers freezing to death on the march, they attacked Trenton, New Jersey at daybreak, December the 26th, 1776. Now, just think about this. In Canada, and I'm sure it's the same in the United States, we have what we call Boxing Day. That's the day after Christmas, and shoppers go wild. They have big specials. I come from a city in Western Canada, Edmonton, Alberta, and we have a big mall. There's called the West Edmonton Mall, one of the largest malls in the world. At one time, it was the largest mall in the world. I don't know if it still holds that record or not, but they have like 70% specials, and the place is packed out with thousands of people. Well, think about George Washington, your founding father, the first president of the United States of America. What was he doing on Boxing Day? He was freezing to death. Some of his soldiers actually did freeze to death, and they were in a battle unto the death, either victory or death. The fear of German Hessian mercenary troops hired by King George III were trained to fight in an open field and were not prepared for Americans firing from behind every tree and fence post. Captain Alexander Hamilton fired his 6-pound cannons down King Street, tearing into the Hessian ranks. Hessian Colonel Johann Rahl was soon shot, and the Americans captured nearly 1,000 in just over an hour. Two Americans were wounded, William Washington, cousin of General Washington, and the young Lieutenant James Monroe, future 5th U.S. President, who was struck by a musket ball in the arm and bleeding badly. Dr. John Ricker clamped the artery and saved his life. Yale President Ezra Stiles stated in an election address before Connecticut General Assembly May the 8th, 1783, in our lowest and most dangerous estate in 1776 and 1777, we sustained ourselves against the British army of 60,000 troops commanded by the ablest generals Britain could procure throughout Europe, with a naval force of 22,000 seamen and above 80 men of war. Heaven inspired us with resolution to cut the Gordian knot. The Gordian knot means an extremely difficult or involved problem. In the glorious act of independence, sealed and confirmed by God Almighty in the victory of George Washington at Trenton. Who does not see the indubitable interposition and energetic influence of divine providence in these great and illustrious events? Who but a Washington inspired by heaven could have struck out the great movement and maneuver of Princeton that Christmas Eve when Washington and his army crossed the Delaware? The United States are under peculiar obligations to become a holy people unto the Lord our God. President Calvin Coolidge stated October the 28th in 1925, military critics have described Washington's campaign of Trenton and Princeton as a military exploit of unparalleled brilliancy. Washington wrote August 20th, 1778, "The hand of Providence has been so conspicuous in the course of the war that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith, and more wicked that has not gratitude to acknowledge his obligations. But it will be time enough for me to turn preacher when my present appointment ceases." Praise God. That's the end of this article. And I love it's so powerful. The history of the United States of America. I really want to encourage you as Americans. You know what? You need to turn back your foundation. The name of my program is America, Rise and Build. And that's what God wants to do. And he's raised up a man like Donald Trump. And he's raised up righteous leaders within the Christian, you could say the body of Christ or the Christian circle, and also in the political arena, that have a heart for God and have a heart for your nation to return it back to its biblical foundation. So this Christmas, I want to remind you of this story and the battle cry, victory or death. And really, that's what it comes down to. We are in a battle. We are in a spiritual warfare. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of hell and darkness. And this battle can only be won by the Spirit of God, as we submit to the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, as we get back to that biblical foundation and say, "Lord, count me in, victory or death." Lord God, bring us back onto that biblical foundation that our founding fathers bled and died for, and remembering that Christmas day back in 1700, in 1776, when they crossed the ice-filled Delaware River in a blizzard, and facing really impossible odds. They were facing the most powerful army and navy that was in the earth at that time, Great Britain, with just a ragtag army, the Continental Army. And so let's remember our roots. Let's remember the biblical account concerning Jesus, the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for our salvation, born into this world in the womb of a virgin, supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit, for the salvation of the world. And that is the foundation of our faith. And then the parallel is that the United States of America was birthed. It was a miracle. It was a miraculous happening, a birthing of the United States of America. It should have never happened. In the natural, it could not have happened without divine intervention at some very key moments during the War of Independence. And so I want to remind you, as Americans, remember your foundation. Remember your founding fathers. Remember the sacrifice that they gave to found your nation, a biblical nation, a nation that the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ could be sent out to the nations of the world. That was the plan. That is the battle plan. That is the, you could say, the heavenly battle plan for the United States of America, was to raise up a nation that would be a light to the nations of the world. And really, that was the original mandate of the nation of Israel. But they failed to recognize their Messiah when he came. Let's not fail. Let's not fail to recognize that Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger, he grew. He became a man. He ministered on the earth. He was crucified. He was buried. He was resurrected, ascended into heaven. He's coming again the second time as the righteous judge. And I have one question. Are you ready? Is your family ready? Is your community ready to meet Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Because on that day, it's going to be too late. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it's going to be too late. Today, if you hear his voice, humble yourself, confess Jesus Christ, accept the one that was the babe in the manger, but no longer a babe. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the risen Savior, the very Son of God, and he has come to redeem you. He paid the redemptive price for your soul with the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. The babe in the manger became the sacrificial lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world so that we could be reconciled to a holy Father in heaven. We could have eternal life. We can be healed and set free from the power of sin and the power of the devil and the fear of death. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's coming again. Are you ready? And I say to you, the United States of America, arise and build. Merry Christmas. Jesus is Lord.
Bride, are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.